Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Here we are again for the 453rd time. Golly, I can't remember. Chuck Bartok speaking to you from the banks of the Sacramento River in beautiful Northern California. I know everybody thinks California is beautiful everywhere, but kind of what makes our area more beautiful is we have more land than people, more cows than people, more almond trees, walnut trees, and believe it or not, we're the northernmost orange-growing area in the world. We have delicious navel oranges coming off now. And there's just not many people. My county, which represents many square miles, is a lump total of about 40,000 people. And it takes a long time to go from one end of the county to the other. So that's what makes Northern California beautiful. I do love people, and but we just don't have a lot of them. Anyway, we're joined today, Brianna Rush from Arizona, I think. Yeah, Arizona. Diane Stevenson, Ontario, Canada. Alex Davidov from New York. Lou McIntyre. And this lame old man just can't ever remember where Lou's from. How come, Lou?
We're in Maryland.
Where?
La Plata, to be specific.
Oh, you're in Maryland?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Maryland, yes. Nancy Henderson from Texas, and Jerry Callison's everywhere. So, anyway. See, I forgot where Jerry's from. Isn't that terrible? God, I'm getting old. Oh, my. Anyway, I'd sent an invitation to everybody today, and a couple of things I wanted to start off with was Twitter, a place that I frequented many years ago. Twitter turned out to be a daily source of income, which I thought was kind of exciting. You'll never guess why, because I shipped oranges from people from around the United States that wanted a box of oranges after I sent a box to a lady in New York, and she came on Twitter and said they were the best things she ever ate in 60 years. And the next day there were five people and then 10. Anyway, Shirley and I spent that winter picking oranges every day, putting them into boxes and shipping them off around the country. So I thought Twitter was the best thing since sliced bread. My background, in those days you had backgrounds with your profile, and of course my background were orange trees laddened with oranges. As time went on, I kind of drifted away from Twitter. I still have about 4,000 followers. I still get responses, but I don't visit it every day, or haven't been for a while. I started back up this last month, and I have seen a direct effect of Twitter time spent directing good converting traffic to the website. So what I thought I'd do is ask anybody else if they have found Twitter to be of any benefit. I know Carmen Baca, who's not with us today, jumped into Twitter not too long ago and has exploded her book sales. Well, let me put it this way. It's exploded her notoriety, her position of influence in the genre that she works in, and that has translated into book sales. So who wants to kick in and tell us a little bit about their Twitter experiences this year, last year, or never? Should I call names?
Alex. Well, I've been on there. I'll jump in there, but let Alex do it.
Alex, what's your Twitter experience?
I have a Twitter account, but I don't really use it because I feel like I'm on Facebook most of my time.
Very good. Very good.
But if Twitter was, you know, successful, well, actually, one of my questions was to, you know, how to generate more book sales.
Well,
and if you're saying that Twitter is one of the leading sources, then, you know, we have to kind of spend more time there.
What's interesting, like all social media, You have to take the time and energy to find out where people that you have defined as your customer base hang out. One thing that Twitter is very successful with, and how you can find those things out, is by using hashtags. And hashtags mm-hmm. are used in Twitter very effectively, more so than Facebook. I don't use hashtags in Facebook. But a typical Twitter user who wants more information will go right up to the search engine and put in hashtag business building, or hashtag book marketing, or hashtag authors, or hashtag left-handed fly fishermen. And what happens is all of the tweets that have that hashtag in it will be at your disposal. Then you take a quick moment, look at what was written. Remember, it's only a few words per person. Click on their profile, do that little bit of research, and if they look appealing to you, you follow them. And you will probably find out in most cases they will follow you. So that's one way to develop a group, you might say. Now, there's another thing on Twitter that hardly anybody talks about, and I have used effectively. When I liked Nancy's Twitter account, I put her in a list. I can create a list, as you can in Facebook. And I'm sure that on your profile in Facebook, everybody has earmarked your friends into various lists. Like, I have horses, dogs, cats. Some people are in more than one list because we share, and I know they have interest in more than one thing. So Nancy is in my author list, as is Diane Stevenson, and whoever else is here on Twitter, if I've friended you, you're in my author list. So if I go to Twitter this morning and I go to my author list, I can see everybody who is on my list and what they said today, what they talked about. And this gives me the opportunity to socialize by commenting and retweeting with comments. Now, I just said an awful lot of stuff, and it sounds like it's very time consuming, but I'm talking about a 15-minute session. I don't live on Twitter. Now, what happens when you do this, and if you allow Twitter to mention your, to access, you will get notifications about tweets from people that you interact with. And also in Twitter, there is a section, I think the word is notifications, and you can see what people have said about you, who liked you, who followed you recently, and so on. So again, if a person set aside 15, 20 minutes a day, maybe 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and visit Twitter, what you're doing is showing other people that you're a player. I mean, that you're a person of influence. And again, it's not a place to constantly put your plugs for selling. What I do is I have on my WordPress websites an automatic plugin that when I post something new on the website, it is automatically tweeted to the Twitter profile that I had chosen. So I don't have to worry about that new piece going out. It happens the minute I hit the update or the publish section on my WordPress website, that new post is Twittered. Okay, now, any questions? Golly.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of, I just get really overwhelmed because there's Facebook, there is Instagram, which is really
right.
A lucrative way of generating traffic. And then there's also Twitter. It's just sometimes you get overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
Having your own day job. kind of like maintaining the presence and being and the relevancy in the space. It's kind of overwhelming. And also LinkedIn. There's also LinkedIn that is really effective way of marketing. But you've got to find that balance, you know.
That's the most important thing. Have you noticed, though, Alex, since you've been proficient at this for a while, have you noticed that your strongest market seems to be one place or the other? Or is your market diverse enough that you have an equal amount of solid followers and fans in the LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram areas? Who's converting the best, I should say?
It's the Facebook and Instagram, because,
okay.
I mean, look, the way I see it, the reason why I say Facebook and Instagram is because I use Facebook and Instagram on a daily basis to convert my my clients. And when I talk about converting clients, I'm specifically talking about martial arts business, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Not a book. So with that being said, I think if I have a strong strategy with my book and invest time and money on a strong funnel creation, then I think it also, you know, I'll see success in traffic to my website and to the book.
Sounds great. You see, it's interesting that you mentioned Instagram, because I'm one of those fossils who I do have an Instagram account, and I don't use it because I don't use my cell phone for much. But recently I found out that Instagram now allows us to Instagram from our desktops. So I have been moving into Instagram, and I am finding out that there are, I could say, demographics of people that do like the little bit I've done on Instagram. But you're very correct, and I'm so glad you brought that up, that we cannot be overwhelmed. And I think almost everybody will end up with one or two social media platforms that fit their demographic and their goals and their product style the best. Jerry, what are your experiences, if any? And I mean, if any, no, you have lots of experience. Are you primarily Facebook, or have you moved into some of the other platforms, Jerry?
Mine is primarily Facebook. I am on LinkedIn. I have a small presence on there. I was more active on it when I was out in sales.
Right.
And moving things over to the writing side has been a little bit slow. But I haven't really been pushing LinkedIn that hard. I've had some pretty good results off of what I've done with it, and I'll probably be doing more with it. Facebook is my primary spot.
Right.
And a lot of that is because I've developed so many contacts in the writers' communities, between a couple of writers' groups, that is giving me a lot of outreach. It's not something that I could point to and say it's creating sales for me right now, but I see where it's going to, because as I am getting actively involved with other writers, I'm having them starting to share what posts I put out.
Right.
So that's giving me a much broader spread on Facebook. Twitter, I have delved into it, but I'm with it kind of like you with Instagram. It just,
right.
I feel like a fish out of the water there.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I want to make a comment, an observation that I have noticed in the last 60 days. Jerry is active on Facebook, as he said, and in these groups, in his case, writers' groups, he is almost always the first person to help someone's issue that they ask a question about. And he's been very straightforward and honest with it. He would say, you know, I probably wouldn't be bothered about that direction. But what this does, because I hang back and kind of watch and observe, is that he is developing a position of authority in offering good information, good suggestions. And he isn't always being agreeable. You know, oh, that's fantastic, that's fabulous, blah, blah, blah. He's offering some valid concerns sometimes. And you've grown immensely in that direction, haven't you, Jerry?
Yeah, I tend to try very hard not to come down hard on some of these people that are almost intentionally being idiotic. But and I don't have a whole lot of patience for people that are just plain being stupid. They say there's no dumb question. No, but there's some dumb people behind them. and I'm not one to take a lot of that, you know, real lightly. But I do try to be honest, even though sometimes I'm brutally honest.
That's good.
And I've had some people get their feelings hurt. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
you can toughen up and grow up and act like an adult and work and then, you know, I'll do what I can to help.
Right.
But, you know, if you're wanting to do something stupid and I tell you, hey, that doesn't work. And tell them why, and then they want to continue on. Well, I'm sorry, I just wash my hands and walk away. But
right.
I'm too old now to spend too much time on that sort of thing.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Somebody has some background noise, kitchen noise. Is somebody working in the background of what somebody's? And somebody's talking. I hear a woman talking in the background. I got it. Maybe it was Jerry. Okay, Jerry, that's cool.
It might be my wife's on the phone in the kitchen.
Okay, well, no, that, I'm not, it's just that what I've noticed is when we get the recording, it's not as graphic as it is or as direct as it is my listening now, but you can hear that muted noise in the background. Lou, I know that you're active on Facebook, but you also do a lot of public presentations. Have you delved into the Twitter market or LinkedIn or Instagram at all?
I started with the mindset that Twitter was a 140 character brain fart. And so I started with a negative outlook on it. And I never have got past that enough to try it out.
I'm also largely
self-taught on Facebook, and I don't know whether I want to go through and I'm getting to the point where I'm reluctant to learn something new because I fairly well understand, and I'm reluctant to go off into new territory, although I should.
Well, I always wonder if things are working for us. That's, in fact, I'm doing a series of 7 blog posts that we won't get into that. But, you know, just because everybody says this works, Alex just went to a meeting, and I'm very familiar with those meetings, especially one that Tony Robbins, maybe. I want to say one thing about Tony Robbins. He sure listened well when he was a younger man because he listened to a lot of influential people who directed him in the right direction. So I've always congratulated him. But I think that we can also find and feel good about our own comfort zones. This idea of trying to push yourself. Now, this is in deference to Alex, of course, is a martial arts, where if you declare publicly you want to become a martial artist, then you do have to push yourself in some directions. Otherwise, you will not move forward. But the fact that everybody's using Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook doesn't mean that everybody has to. But there are one of those three or four. Some of us can find a comfort zone, and if it's working, we shouldn't feel bad about it. Does that make sense? We shouldn't feel bad, guilty because you're not on Instagram. And the reason I went back to Twitter, Lou, was that it was successful for me back in the day. I mean, I sold product daily, $25 a box. I know this isn't wonderful money, but you know, a dumb farmer up in Northern California, I'm getting four or five orders a day, cash money in my PayPal account at $25 a pop. It cost me $12 to ship it. It was, $12, $13 net profit for me to go out and pick 15 oranges and put them in a box. I mean, you know, and it all came from Twitter. So that obviously got me interested, but then I found that it wasn't interesting to me, but now it is, because I'm finding some fabulous authors, because now I'm interested in books and writing and publishing. I'm finding some niches there, and this hashtag thing really worked. They have something called, there's a hashtag that is very highly trended, which means it's a hot item, and it's called Blogging Monday. And what it was started by an author who felt that everybody should on Monday only post your newest chapter, your newest blog post, your newest whatever, and tag it with Blogging Monday. And I was shocked today. If any of you go to Twitter while we're on the call and type up in the search engine Blogging Monday, you're going to see some, I think, neat things. So, Lou, I feel the same way. It's a 440-word brain fart, but those 140 words have helped a lot of people in different market areas. Diane Stevenson, what's happening on your side of the block?
Well, I've been on LinkedIn for quite a few years now.
Yes.
I used to enjoy LinkedIn, but somehow the groups I was in all changed, and that I did not. I don't go there very much anymore unless somebody messages me. Instagram, I did sign up, but I never did a thing with it. And Twitter, I've been on Twitter for years, and really the only thing I do is share something from somebody else. I think I did share my blog, last blog post on it this time. I don't usually do that either. But so Facebook is the thing I'm mainly on.
Right.
I used to hate Facebook. I never used to do
it. I know.
I'm using it more than anything now.
Right. Well, you know, the fact that you do, I mean, your website and your new content, this, I'm going to play with this blog and only do it on Monday. You know, don't, if it's Wednesday, don't use the hashtag Blogging Monday, because the people who follow you and will want to retweet will realize that this really isn't Monday's content. Now, if your blog is like most of mine now, where I've removed dates and kept content evergreen, they don't know that you didn't, you know, I posted one last Monday that was a 4-year-old blog post, but it was Blogging Monday, you know, It's what brought my mind to it. So let's see, we've got Lou, Jerry, talk, Nancy, what's happening to you besides being, having Facebook mess you around?
Well, let's see. I was going to tell Alex that Instagram and Facebook are connected.
Yeah.
Except you do hashtags there. And I'm sure he knows that, because when you boost a post on Facebook, it'll ask you if you want it to go on to Instagram. And plus, if you're on Instagram looking, it'll let you know someone has liked or done something on your Facebook page. But if he's aware of how it works on Instagram with the hashtags, it's very much the same on Twitter. And over there, I'm active, but I'm very choicey. I can't answer 1,000 million tweets. And I like the idea that you're talking about Blogging Monday, because that's really the only time once a week that you need to throw something up there. It a lot of them only do that, you can tell. And those that throw up a link to something every day, like their book, it gets clogged up over there. So, but I found with it, it's finding the hashtags to get to the writers groups and different things that work too. But I'm not as active as Carmen. Carmen answers a lot of things, and that does bring her note. She's very much like JL with the mentoring up there. So that's always a good call. I don't feel like I'm as far along as they are to mentor people on different things. So, but other than that, yes, I did have some fun with Spill Words and Writers Club. Have both picked up the Cedar Chest, which has sent about 3,000 people to that blog on my website, and a lot of response on Facebook when I reposted it with Spill Words. About 90 people have hit that so far, and a lot of new followers. Also, the biggest surprise was the poem that I wrote for my granddaughter. I decided to enter in the Writers Club and Spill Words. I haven't heard from Spill Words yet, but the Writers Club went crazy for it, and so did the Booksy guy. A lot of response from that. I'm not a poet, so it was kind of a big surprise. It was just a heartfelt thing, and I've got another one that I wrote called Those Big Eyes, which I haven't put out yet, which has to do with my youngest great-grandson. Anyhow, but it's a different kind of happening, and you know, things just happen sometimes. You're in the right place at the right time, and so anyhow, I just say go ahead and do it, and if it works, fine. If people hadn't liked it, it'd been fine too, because I like it and she likes it, so. Anyhow, so that's about all that has happened here. I put out a new blog about super glue, and a new blog, a new chapter on I was so shocked on the super glue when I went and I Googled people. I was looking for pictures of someone mm-hmm. stuck with super glue on them. The picture I chose could be very deceptive if you don't look at it right, but yeah. Anyhow, the way people don't even go there, Chuck. No one mentioned it yet, so I guess I'm good. But the things that people had done with super glue, like they instead of getting a facelift, they glued their eyelids up to their brows so that they are their lip up against the bottom of the top of their lip and on down toward their chin with super glue, so they had full lips. Really? Yeah. You know, but it was a fun blog, and I enjoyed that. Of course, I enjoy humor, but then I also got another chapter up of, I think it's chapter 31 of the fourth book, which I'm now over into the last town. So I'm in Sweeney. So it's should hum on through now. So
we'll see a completion on that book shortly. You know, while we're on this call, why don't you jump over to Twitter, your Twitter account, write a few words about your super glue post, put the hashtag Blogging Monday and put it out.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's super, and see what happens, because that super glue story is enough to keep me in stitches for about a week, you know.
It's I had to ask, I mentioned Carmen came onto the post that I made that was just a post about it, because I was frustrated with trying to get it off my hands, and She said something. She did tell me that it ended up taking some enamel off her teeth, and yes. I'd already written the thing, and it made her mouth bleed. And everybody has taken that little super glue. The first time you use it, the lid, you know, comes off easily because it mm-hmm. punctures the little top. But the second time, when you put it back together and you try to open that tiny little tube, which is twisting in your hand, you have people have a tendency not to go get the pliers, but use their teeth. Well, if this happens that it comes off very quick, it squirts in your mouth. And so I probably should have elaborated on that a little bit more, but anyway, I got her permission to let me, and of course I linked her into her Facebook page with her books, but I thought that was fun to be able to do that. So anytime I get a chance and can link someone, I try to. So, but that's about it. And I will go over there.
Get up to Twitter while we're on the show, and anybody else that posted something over the weekend or whatever, if they're not dated, go ahead and do a blogging Monday, just for fun. It would be fun to see if you get many notifications about it. Another item that I brought up in the message or invitation was we had talked last week, and I think once or twice before, about the use of Google Alert. This was directed to people who I've been counseling that tell me, oh yeah, Chuck, you tell me I should blog a minimum of one good post a week, but I just am so busy and I don't have any ideas and I can't find content. And you know, there's all, because we're all I work my hardest not to be busy. That's what my goal in life is, to be busy, because I think it's just so much fun to sit back and breathe. So Google Alerts, if you have keywords, for instance, in this position, martial arts training are three pretty many more. If he goes to Google Alerts, which is a free service, if you have a Gmail account, you just type in Google Alerts and it's already attached to your account. It's synced to your account. And you type those relevant keywords in and only ask for blogs, you know, not news and so on. Every morning, if there's any activity on the internet, new articles about those keywords, you're going to get a synopsis delivered to your email. 8, 9, 10 articles. Again, it just takes a moment to scan down through them. There are excerpts, a few sentence excerpts. Look at the title. Look at where, you know, you do some analysis. It's if it's from, you can tell junk from quality. And I have done this for years, and all I can say is it's effective in helping develop, what's the word, notoriety, influence, authority, whatever. I go to the article, I read it. I was blessed with the ability to read fairly quickly. If I like it, I immediately go to the comments section, leave my words, and it's not just awesome. I mean, nothing wrong with awesome, Nancy, don't get me wrong. But I try to put a few sentences relevance, because I use awesome also, a few sentences of relevance in the comment. And I have actually, as Jerry talked about, and Lou, and sometimes I won't agree wholeheartedly, but I will state a very valid position. And I just don't know how to say it. I've said it before. I get traffic to my websites from comments that I made 5, 6 years ago on other people's blogs. And that's unsolicited traffic, and it only takes a short time to do that. Again, I know we're all busy. I know everybody's got, you know, they're up against the wall. But I'm talking snippets of time. I'm talking little fragments of time. That whole thing with Google Alerts, if it takes more than 10 minutes, I'm sleeping at the wheel, you know. And those are other little free, it doesn't cost you a dime. to do these things, because there's another thing that nobody wants to talk about. I've never heard too many of the gurus, the smart guys, the ones that are very successful. When you comment on a blog, your name is hyperlinked to your website. So when I go to a blog, I look at the answers, and if somebody posted some brilliant answers, I click on their name and I'm instantly taken to their website, and I may find out that I really want to know this person better. So I have I read their about page, and then I go to contact and I say, wow, you know, I was really impressed with your website. You and I seem to share the same thoughts about left-hand golfing or, you know, fly fishing. You know, let's chat some more about it. So it gives us an opportunity to possibly meet people through a different venue. And I'm wondering, I just have this question, and I want you guys to think about it and put in your two cents, because I know Lou and Jerry will probably have some good things to say, and everybody else. I'm wondering if the quality of that connection is a bit higher than the quality of a casual Facebook connection. Stop and think about how, you know, I commented on your post. I moved up and read the comment that somebody else made. I click on their name. I'm taken to their website and it impresses me. And we develop a relationship from that. And I have found out that those relations tend to convert, and that conversion can be in many different ways. Some of them have converted very well into some lucrative financial dealings. Alex understands the financial markets, in business. He's a businessman. And you never know when all of that takes you to the guy that's got that corner piece of property that's priced ridiculously low, and you know somebody else who wants to buy it, and you pick up your 10% as a finder's fee. Those things happen in the development of these relationships. And I'm not trying to make it sound easy, but it's part of the overall method. Now, Google Alerts is a free tool that can provide you a steady stream of information. Also, if I go to the blog that Alex just wrote, and he happens to be talking about procrastination, and it starts, hits my mind, you know, I was going to write a blog about procrastination. So just reading his article spurs me forward to get another job done. Content does stop people sometimes. What do I write about? Well, this is a way that people can find content ideas, expand. I'm not talking about cut and pasting and plagiarizing. It's the concept. And of course, remember this, if you're writing a blog post about something that happens to be trending, it helps your blog, and I'm not an SEO fanatic, it helps your blog get closer to the top. So, input. Lou, shoot everything I said to heck.
No, I think you've got some good points there. I just actually haven't... tried some of the things that you do, but I think you're right. The personal relationships are important. I'm only really active on one blog, and that is a writer's blog.
Yes.
Writingforums.org, and I've developed some real strong friendships on that group. And I find myself mentoring younger people coming around now that I'm not a newbie writer myself. And I think the relationships are a very important part of it. Yeah. I didn't shoot you down.
Well, you know, what's beautiful is each of us this is why I've always, I mean, personally, this talk show has kind of evolved, as you all know. I have learned so much personally from so many of our callers over the last 10, 15 years that every session you pick up something else. Now, I just want to tell you how my mind works. Lou just said writingforums.org. I immediately went to it. And I'm totally blown away. General writing, no, let's see, by the genre. Posts. Setting development, 40,000 posts. Plot development, 92,000 posts. And these, I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to just make a guess, ladies and gentlemen, that these aren't junk stuff. I'm assuming that these, what's the word I want to say? Responses are pretty good. So, you know, not that I'm going to get involved with writingforums.org, but I just learned something. And what it brought me back to, Lou, this writing forum obviously is, because here's a Friday post, is still very active, correct?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
And, you know, I checked in initially to confidence building before I published. And then I found a beta reader for The Eagle and the Dragon who was very enthusiastic about it and made me feel like maybe this isn't a piece of crap after all. And there's a lot of course, you get a lot of the newbie writers saying, how do I write the perfect first sentence for my novel that I haven't written yet? And the answer is, you can't.
But at least somebody said it, you know. My gosh, everybody, I'm looking at the members here. 36,000 messages, 22,000 messages, 19,000 messages. And I'm sure that there's sideways here. In other words, Big Soft Moose is probably personally engaged with Link the writer outside of this forum. And one of the first things I did when I came online is I did forum marketing, and I know that it's gotten blasé. I'm finding out and reading and listening to some other old guys. There's some great plugins for your WordPress site where you can have a closed private forum. And I'm just blown away when I see the activity on this forum. So forums aren't dead, even though people may tell us they are. Anybody else have any thoughts on forums or any experience with forums in the past? Does everybody know what I'm talking about with forums? Hello?
Okay, I was muted and had trouble getting back on here. I was very active on a cluster headache forum several years ago. It's kind of been supplanted by Facebook. And I think a lot of forums have gone away because of social media. But forums can be very effective. And as for this writingforums.org, it has one more member just as soon as I get this.
Me too, when I get back to it, yeah.
So just as soon as it decides that I'm not a robot, then you know, it'll have one more. But forums can be very helpful. The moderation has to be spot on, because otherwise you end up getting a lot of bullying and a lot of other junk. Right. I don't know if Lou is.
They have a very active set of mods on Facebook on writing forums.
Okay. What I'm seeing here looks good.
Very active, and anyone who starts getting impolite, or even just there's a variety of ways in which one person can start a thread and then just refuse to listen to anything anybody has to say, and eventually get pulled down.
I'll find out how this one goes. I think it has a lot of potential. So,
but you know, here we go again. See, we just opened the can of worms. Alex said the very good, the very solid and well stated situation. I don't have time, or I'm already very busy. And hopefully, we're all busy.
I think we just lost.
Maybe, and I ask myself this question all the time, maybe my busyness is not productive. But yet I can feel real good about doing something because I can, you know, look in the mirror and say, well, I did this today. But you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, how much closer are you to your weekly goal in whatever it is, losing weight, selling more widgets, getting more subscribers? How much did all of that busyness get you there? Because I really believe all of us, including me, spend a lot of time being busy and sometimes not being productive. So, but in here we're talking about, we introduced forums, and I just lost it. It's writing forum. No,
writingforums.org.
Writingforums.org.
Yes.
There it is. It came right back up again. Yeah. Yeah, I want to keep that open. But, you mentioned groups, that Facebook has kind of taken the place of forums, which I agree. But the one nice thing about the forum format, you know, when you post in a group, and if the group is active, within a matter of minutes, your post is gone. It's still there, but it's not going to, you know, people have a tendency not to scroll too far.
Yeah.
But the way forums are laid out with the keywords, and then when you press on, like I'm looking at, for instance, character development, I see all of the other threads, terror, favorite quotes, superhuman critiques, and so on. And if any of those appeal to me, all of the posts relevant to that are always easily seen. So looking at a forum and following through with the forum sometimes may be easier than Facebook groups. Just a thought. Anybody want to put in their two cents on that observation? You think it's right or wrong?
I think you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Unless you've got a real small Facebook group, yeah. And this is a huge forum.
So, yeah, this is a big one. Okay. I just
I'd have to go along with Lou on that. I think he's got spot on.
Good. Nancy, you were saying something?
I'm not on any forums that I know of. I'm not sure. This was probably before I ever got on the computer after a long time. But it reminds me, this forum reminds me very much of Booksy.
Yes, which yes. Booksy is a forum of sorts.
Nearly the exact same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's Booksy's a little newer, but it's for people to write, and you have different rooms and you put it in there. You can create your own room. And I don't know. This is probably more elite, most likely, from what I see. But
Really. They have everybody on there from novices to
Okay.
We've got a bunch of books to their credit.
Good.
Okay, and see, Booksy does the same type thing, Lou. It's you can put your books up, you can put them up a chapter at a time or one chapter. I have some that have just two chapters, and but the link is at the end of each chapter to go buy that book on Amazon if you want to. But you can put articles, you can put poetry, you can put anything you want in different areas on there. And people write up there constantly. There's one guy that I get 4 or 5 emails a day from him writing. He just writes, and that's where he writes. And they also will take, they can make what you're writing into an ebook for you. You do a book cover there if you want. Otherwise, you get a blue one with a name and your name on it in white or whatever you choose. But most pictures I put up with mine, I did one for the Widow's blog, and it's chapters because it's going to be different blogs. But whether, you know, you can only do an ebook, of course, it's nothing different. But anyhow, this is interesting because I didn't know this existed too. So.
Yep.
Pretty
cool.
We
learned something new. That's what we're all here for.
Right.
You can have access to the chat room if you're not calling just on a phone that you don't have. While we were doing this, I found an article, just an article, Successful Forum Marketing at the Balances MB or the Balance SMB. Successful Forum Marketing. The link is there. It might be an article for you to bookmark and come back and read. It's an up-to-date article written November of last year. First sentence, forum marketing can be an effective way to make your online business stand out from the crowd. Forum users are generally tech savvy and open to making online purchases. So without going any further, I realize this article is from a website called Small Business, which is going to focus on businesses like Alex, an actual business. We're all an actual business. Writing a book and publishing it is a business. And just an article with some good ideas. Create win-win campaigns. Use caution if outsourcing. Yeah, outsourcing. They say, please don't use outsourcing for forum marketing. You're not going to hire a Fiverr to do your former forum marketing, I don't think, anyway. So we've kind of gone around Robin Hood's barn. Alex, I know you published your book a few months ago, and you republished it, an edited version under your own publishing name. Have you seen any positive results from that, Alex?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Maybe the reports are wrong, but today I actually checked the reports. I haven't had that much success with it.
Okay.
I did get more reviews, but I think I need to start creating a funnel to grab more traffic.
Now, Alex, your book is available from you directly on your website now, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So if I buy it, I'm not going to go to Amazon. I'm going to buy it from Alex, correct?
Well, the KDP, yeah, from Alex. Yeah, exactly. So I linked everything to my self-published link.
I know. I guess I wasn't clear. My question is, I thought you did, but I guess you didn't. Wouldn't you be best served having a page on your website that describes your book, has the PayPal button, the money is instantly deposited in your account, and you mail the autographed copy to me?
Oh, yes. I haven't done that yet, no.
Okay. But I knew that was in your plans. Yeah. And that was one reason why you changed from the publisher. So now you can own your books at a lower cost.
Yep. I actually ordered a bunch of books myself.
Good.
And which I'm selling at my own school. But I haven't set that up yet where people could actually purchase it with, you know, signed copy.
There you go. Okay, well, I'm sure you'll be doing that soon, and hopefully you'll see a difference. Huh? You know, it's always good to have more places to sell our books. 615 just joined us. Who is that in the area code? 615.
That is Tenacious Tanya.
Oh my gosh, where have you been hiding?
All right.
And you silly girl, you arrive about 2 minutes before closing. It's all right. We love you.
I know. You know, the forces of nature and the universe finally aligned 2 minutes before closing for me to join you, for me to join the wonderful world of writers to see what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be bad. In a few minutes, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. We're going to close the recording. We have some wonderful callers, as always. Today is bingo night. Shirley has some delicious food for me to eat prior to going over and talking again for another 3 hours, calling out numbers. So we're going to close off the recording. I want to thank everyone, Jerry, Nancy, Lou, Alex, Diane, you've been here. I hope I haven't ignored you, Diane, have we?
No, you haven't. I'm listening.
Okay. Okay, and Tenacious Tanya Heathcote is with us, and I'm so glad she made it. In fact, I'm just going to do it now. This is Chuck Bartok thanking everyone for joining us and all of their tremendous information that is helpful to everybody. We'll be back next week, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, for another session of You Can Build It, Your Business. Our callers, of course, can stay on the line and chat with each other for as long as they want, and I hope they do. I do have to leave, though, because my agreement that I made when I started back on this show was I will quit at 4:30. In the old days, we used to go another hour, but we're not going to do that anymore. So thank you all very much. Have a great week, because there is no alternative. Thank you.
Thank you.